All right, I think I'm going to just try to speak up here since there are just a few of us tonight and just share a few moments on the peace that Jesus has brought to us. We've been going through this season of Advent celebrating and declaring the gifts that God has given us in the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we started with the candle of hope that we lit and talked about the hope that He brought, that He has given to us. Then we talked about love, joy, and this week we are going to proclaim the peace that came and that we now have because of Jesus Christ. And conceptually, this is how we want to picture it. This is a season where we give a lot of gifts. And there, when you get a gift, you actually are receiving something. You open it, you take it out, and then you possess something. And I really feel like that is the picture that God has for us with each of these different characteristics. And so this week, we are unwrapping the gift of peace. And it's not just something that we sing about. It's not something that Jesus had. We will read that He was the Prince of Peace. But it is a peace that He came so that we might possess as well. And so as a follower of Jesus, you have been given this gift of peace to walk in, to own, to possess, so that everywhere that you go, every interaction that you have, that you can have, you can possess this peace. And not only will it benefit you in your life, not only will it combat the turmoil, the hardships that you face, but this peace will radiate from you to those around you. It doesn't just affect you inwardly, in your soul or your mind or your heart, but it goes from those places and it actually shifts the atmosphere around you. When we carry these gifts that God has given us, it really begins to change and to shift and influence all those around us. And so this season is not only about recognizing what Jesus did, which is very important and which we'll continue to do tonight, but it is taking the ownership of what He has given us by what He has done. And so this week, I was struck by the theme of peace throughout the Scripture. That God has had in His heart to give us peace from the beginning. That He created this perfect place, this place that we know as the Garden of Eden. And He created a man and a woman there, as well as all the vegetation and the birds in the sky, the animals on the ground, the fish in the sea. He created all of it, and the atmosphere was peaceful. There was peace. There was rest on every side. There wasn't turmoil. There wasn't these things that caused unrest. It was just peace. And that's what God gave us. That's the way that He designed creation. Then sin entered the world. And from the point that sin entered, there has been unrest. There has been turmoil in the world. There's been turmoil and unrest in our spirits. Because the one that we were created to know and to have fellowship with, there was now a separation. There now was a divide. There was now some sort of hostility. And so there was unrest in our spirits because mankind was not walking in fellowship with God in the way that He and she were designed to. And so this pattern of unrest and turmoil begins, and we can follow it throughout the Old Testament. And God, and we also see God initiating with people and initiating peace. And so He finds this people. He actually finds this man, Abraham. And Abraham becomes the father of a nation that we know as Israel. And God initiated relationship with them. He initiated peace with them. And He wanted to take them to something called the Promised Land. And we've heard of the guy named Moses. And that was one of Moses' jobs. And then Joshua kind of took that over of taking the people of Israel into the Promised Land. The Promised Land was a land that was beautiful, that had everything they needed. And they were to take it and then to have rest on every side. It was to be a place of peace. And yet it took much longer than it was supposed to for them not only to get there, but then for them to eventually experience the peace and the rest that God had for them. Hundreds of years. Hundreds of years it took them because, again, of their sin, because of waywardness from God. There's a book called Judges in the Bible. And the Judges was one of the most tumultuous times in the history of Israel. They would have these battles with foreign armies, and then they would be oppressed by these armies. They would be defeated by them. And then they would call out to God. See, they had forgotten all about God. They were worshiping idols. And then when they were in trouble, when they were in turmoil, they would call on God. God would hear their cry, and he would come to them. And he would save them. He would raise up a leader, a judge is what they call them, from among the people of Israel. And then they would have rest. This pattern is just a roller coaster, because a judge will come in and save them. And then that judge will die, and then people will forget about God again and go in their own way, and then eventually get attacked and defeated and oppressed again. And then they'll cry out, and God will raise up a judge. And this pattern we see repeated over and over again. And after every time, almost every time, it says then there was a period of a rest, of some odd length of time, 40 years, sometimes it was 60 years, 70 years, 30 years. There was a period of rest, where Israel experienced peace. That was God's design for them, that they would experience peace. And yet their sin, their waywardness, their idolatry would turn them away from God again. We see as time moves on, that Israel has a king. The second king that Israel ever had was a man by the name of David. David is the one that finally ushered Israel as a people into a period of rest, a period of peace. He was said to be a man after God's own heart, and he led the people as a man with God's own heart. And so what he was able to do was to usher these people into a period of rest, because they finally inherited the fullness, took full possession of the promised land. They were supposed to do that hundreds of years earlier. But they finally took possession of this land, and God granted them rest on every side. That rest continued throughout the life of David's son, Solomon. They experienced peace and rest. It was Israel's golden age. And so, they experienced what they were meant to years ago, the thing that God had initiated with them for so long. Then again, we see after Solomon, and really at the end of Solomon's life, mankind choosing sin again. Choosing to turn their back on God and follow after other gods. And follow after idols and worship them instead of the one true living God. So again, you see the people of Israel move into a place of turmoil, of unrest. And for them at that point, it was the ultimate unrest. They were overthrown, overtaken, and then dispersed. Their captors took them, they didn't kill them all, but they took them all to their own, to different countries and dispersed them throughout the land, so that they weren't with friends, they weren't with family, they weren't in a community that they knew, with traditions that they knew, they were dispersed. It was unrest. It wasn't home. Home is a picture of rest. Home is a picture of peace. And for many of you in this room, that maybe has been or hasn't been the case, or maybe that's been a roller coaster ride in itself. In fact, I'm sure it has been, because even the best families have some roller coaster moments. But I think it's a good picture for us that God has designed a home, he's designed family to be a place of peace, to be a place of rest. It's God's desire, it's his heart. And I want to pick up with reading a few scriptures out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament that is a prophet's book. Isaiah was a prophet, and he spoke much of Jesus, of the coming Messiah. And he picks up on this theme of peace. We see him beginning to write and expect this great level of peace that is going to come in a different way. Because God recognized that he kind of moved plan, that his next plan kind of moves into motion, and that is reaching the heart of men and women. You see, this picture of Israel that I just described in their history, it can be a summary of what has happened in our own hearts, in our own lives, that we've had ups and downs, moments where we are following God and experiencing his peace, experiencing this truth that God is with us, And it doesn't matter what comes against us, we can rest assured because of His presence in our lives. And there maybe have been moments where we have felt distant from God. Maybe because of our own sin, because of barriers that we put up, though God always draws near. And so tonight, we're going to see that in Jesus, God initiates the greatest peace that mankind has ever known. Isaiah begins to speak about this in chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah. Verse 6 and 7 say this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Isaiah begins to prophesy, to foretell the coming of the Messiah, that there will be a child that is born. And he will be described as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He will be the Prince of Peace. And of his government, there will be no end. See, Israel has been oppressed by many different governments over their history. They have been attacked, they have been abused, they have been dispersed by many different abusive foreign armies and governments. But it says of his government, of the government of the Messiah that is to come, there will be no end. And there will be no end to the peace that he brings. There is something about the government that brings peace, the government of Jesus Christ, that when we align our hearts with him, when we allow him to govern our lives, the result of that is peace. And he wants you to experience that tonight. And here in a moment, we're just going to have a time to do that. Just to sit still before God for a few moments before we move back into a time of worship. And just say, God, I want to know your peace. I want to know your presence in my life. That you come because you desire for me to experience your peace. I want to read a few more verses out of Isaiah. Four more. One out of Isaiah 52. Out of 53, 54, and then 55. There's a theme of peace that Isaiah takes us on. In 52, 7, Isaiah says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" This verse is associated with the salvation that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. It comes with knowing the good news that Jesus not only was born, but he died, and then he rose from the grave so that we can have life. And so peace was given to us in this message of salvation. The gift of God's Son is a gift of peace. Isaiah moves on to the end of Jesus' life. In 53:5, he says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Isaiah moves on and he's talking about the death that Jesus would die. He moves on to this nice little picture that we can handle of Jesus, this little baby born in the manger and animals around in this picturesque scene. He moves from there to the scene of the cross. That one day this little baby would pour out his blood for us. That he would suffer. That he would be abused. And the turmoil and the unrest that should have been ours, he will take on himself. So that we might experience peace. It says that by his punishment, we were brought peace. So we say, thank you, Jesus, for the peace that you provided us. Not only that you brought to this earth but that you earned because you laid down your life. You earned on our behalf. Isaiah 54:10 then moves on and it moves us into a place of now taking this peace and running with it. It says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God has made a covenant with us. And when we do marriage ceremonies, I always use the word covenant, because we are not entering simply into a contract that says, if you do this, I'll do that. And we kind of do this handshake and say, but if you ever mess up, then I'm out of here. That's not what marriage was ever designed to be. Marriage was designed to be a covenant that says, I am covenanting with you. And no matter if you are unfaithful, I will continue to be faithful. And that's what Jesus has done with us. That's what God has done with us. And here he calls that covenant a covenant of peace. And we see that sin that entered the world back in the garden, that enmity that was placed between mankind and God, through this covenant, is now erased. Now, instead of enmity, instead of strife, there is now peace through what Jesus has done on the cross. And so lastly, we're told in Isaiah 55:12 that you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And so we will go out with joy. We will run forth with peace. It's something that we possess, that we influence the world around us with because of what Jesus has done for us. A couple more verses that I want to read. Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace through God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, I just want to say, if you are in this room this evening, and you would say that you have a relationship with, there is a peace, a deep well, a massive reservoir of peace that he has for you. And if there is a place in your life, if you feel like overall in your life, that you are not experiencing the peace of God, I believe that tonight is the night that he is inviting you to jump in to this reservoir, to dive in. To not hold back, to not even just stick a toe in, but just to jump in and experience the peace of God. The peace of God that I think is perfectly described in Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is a peace that he has for you that will guard you. It will guard your heart from feeling turmoil, from feeling unrest, from feeling pressure, from feeling stress. There is a peace that will guard your mind from the stresses of life, from the turmoil. And it comes through knowing Jesus Christ. And it is a peace that transcends all understanding. God's peace does not come through understanding. It's not a peace that comes through saying, oh, this is why this happened. Or I can understand that because it makes logical sense and I can map it out. Sometimes it will make sense, sometimes it won't make sense. But the peace of God transcends. It is above. It goes beyond our simple, finite understanding. Sometimes God wants us to come and just know him in his peace. And when we'll do that, when we'll just trust him and say, God, okay, I give up my right to understand. Because sometimes we can stick our feet in the mud and we can just not move and say, I'm not moving from here until I have understanding, God. I don't get this. I don't know why this happened. You better tell me why. Instead of saying, God, I don't understand. I want to understand. God, show me. But even if you don't, or even if it's in time, I want to know your peace. I trust you enough to say, I want your peace. And that is enough to transcend, to go above and beyond even my understanding. And finding a place of rest in God that is not contingent on how much you understand, how much you know, how much you're able to logically explain. And I have found that often it's out of that place of peace that your eyes open. That you begin to see, oh, this is what God was doing. This is how he was moving. Now I understand. And it comes out of a place of peace and a place of rest. I want to end with this. And this isn't simply on peace, but it's on this. What I really feel like God has been communicating with us throughout this Advent season. That begin there is talking about opening up this gift. Well, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above. The heart of God is to give these gifts that are so significant, that are so life-changing, that things will never be the same again when you experience his hope. His hope, the abounding hope that there is good things to come. When you experience his love, that he is a father who loves perfectly. When you experience joy, a joy that is deeply rooted, that you can have sorrow in life, which we will have, but still experience a joy in God. And finally, as we talked about today, experience a peace that rests deep and resides deep within our souls. And so the giver of these gifts is worthy of honor. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of our lives. Because when we take these four words, which are very commonly used in church, it's like, oh yeah, there's hope, love, joy, peace. That's what we do, especially this time of year. But I want it to become a little more real than that. That when we experience these four things as God has available for us, that it is life-changing. If we will really grasp and dive into the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace that comes with knowing Christ, that our lives will be completely rearranged, reoriented, so that we might follow wholeheartedly this King, this Jesus who has given us these things. Not something that we do on the side, not something that we celebrate a certain time of the year, but our lives will be reoriented because of who he is and just what he has done. How he has brought life and light into a bleak and dark world. Into our lives that were in complete unrest, lacking peace because of sin. Because of a distance from God that we created with our own choices. But now there's one that has come, that was born on this earth, that lived a sinless life, that died a death that we deserved, so that we might live forever. And not only live, but have life to the full. Have life marked by hope, by love, by joy, by peace. So let's pray. And as I pray, I just want to invite you to bow your heads. Even now, let's just bow together. And I'm specifically going to ask that this evening you would experience the peace of God. That maybe it would start in your mind, just realizing that yes, God did come to give peace, that it has been his way, it has been his desire from the beginning. But that would go from your mind, it would translate down into your heart, and then even physically, you would just sense, you would know the peace of God. So, Lord Jesus, we just invite you into this place tonight, into this room. We know that where you are, there's peace. God, we want to experience your peace in a deep way. And I just really feel like right now there are perhaps some things that God wants to bring to your mind. Just things that have been difficult. Things that you haven't understood. Things that have set your life in a trajectory that you had never imagined. Things that have happened in your family that weren't planned, that caused pain. Things that you haven't understood. And I believe there's some things like that that are going to come to your mind that God is just going to give peace to like He never has before. Like you haven't experienced before when it comes to those things. So, God, I pray that you would come and you would touch every man and woman's heart. Specifically in those areas that came to mind, that they would no longer have a mark of bitterness. They would no longer be a mark of pain or hurt. God, but now it would be a mark of peace. Lord, we thank you for your peace. Lord, it is an honor, God, and I pray that out of a peaceful spirit, out of a place of rest, God, that we would now worship you. That we would sing, that we would celebrate, that we would rejoice because of what you've done, because of the things that you've given us. We thank you, God, and we pray this in Jesus' name.